Good morning. Welcome to Faith Community United Methodist Church. It's good to hear all the chatter out there. That means we have some energy, we have some excitement. Maybe all the excitement of the season has really made its way into our hearts and enlivened us up a little bit so that joy can come out of us. It's good to be with you in God's house together once again. This is Epiphany Sunday. It's time for us to be reminded of the light of Christ shines to the whole world. And it begins with each and every one of us, how that light goes out into the world. There's plenty of announcements for you in your bulletin. I just want to remind those that are part of the prayer partners, we have our meeting tomorrow at 5:15. So if you're a part of that, come to that. And if you are not and you would like to join us in prayer, you can do that. We just meet in the parlor area at 5:15 tomorrow. We have coins next week, so let's put that on our calendars to remember to bring those coins in for mission. Our Women United Circle and Dorcas Circle will not be meeting this month, but Mary and Martha will be meeting this month, and so will Men of Faith. So those dates are available for you there. I want to bring to your attention this leadership training for the districts of the Scioto River District and the Great Miami River District. The training is going to be here at our church, so it's very accessible. There are a lot of different things for you to take a different session. I look forward to seeing some of you at that event. There's plenty of things. If you're on the SBRC, there's definitely a piece on there for you. Trustees, there's a couple things for you. So I'll look for making a way for that to be something that you attend. With that, I think we will rest in the Spirit and prepare ourselves for worship as we take in the prelude this morning.
creatures of our God and King. Lift up your voice and with us sing. Oh, praise ye, Alleluia. Oh, brother sun with golden beam. Oh, sister moon with silver gleam. Oh, praise ye, oh, praise ye, Alleluia.
Morning. If you are able, would you stand and join me in the call to worship? We gather as people awakened by the light of Christ. God, help us find your glory. We gather as people listening for the whispers of the Spirit. God, help us notice your glory. We gather as people yearning for love's presence.
God,
help us encounter your glory. On this Epiphany Sunday, may the light of love shine among us. God, reveal to us anew the glory of your expansive love that gathers us together and sustains us in loving service to one another and all creation. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is "Over a Thousand Tongues to Sing." It's number 57, and we'll be singing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5.
Good morning. Sing with gusto. Here we go.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, my great redeemed praise to sing. Alleluia, Alleluia. Bear creatures of our good and clean.
I hear you trying. Turn your pages to 57. That was my fault. She misunderstood, so it was on me. So let's do this one. You tried really hard. That was kind of weird trying to put words to that, wasn't it? Yep. All right, here we go. Tongues, here we go.
Glad we have Terry to help us out. I love it. We got to sing a couple of songs. Thank you, Terry and Carol. Now we're going to go on with the opening prayer. It's printed in the bulletin, and if you would pray with me, please. Let us pray. Light of God, illumine the path that leads us to healing, hope, and salvation. Glory of God, fill this sanctuary and expose the darkness that stalks our souls. Light of God, shine with such brightness that we marvel in awe. Glory of God, fill each of us with the Holy Spirit. And of God, glory of God, we welcome you in this place. Amen. Now, if there's any children, could you come up for a minute?
I think the light's just dim. We need to lighten it up.
We do need
today
to
is the day of the light.
Yes, today is the day of the light. And that's what I'm going to talk about. Guys, I'm going to talk about this light. I'm going to sit down here and hopefully I can get up. Doesn't this look good? Okay, see that light? That's what we're talking about. Today's Epiphany. It's a big word, isn't it? It's kind of about the Magi. The Magi came to see Christ child, see the Christ child. But they had to come 900 miles. That is a long, long way. So they didn't get there on the day that Jesus was born, although when we look at our manger scenes, we see these three guys coming with their gifts. But they came when Jesus was a little bit older, but they saw the light, the star, guided them, and they knew that that light was really special, and they knew that Christ was really special, and we know that Christ is really special, and they were looking for something. They were seeking. That's what we're seeking, too. We're seeking Jesus to be with us. And so we're kind of like the Magi, the astronomers. And we would look up. This morning I looked up in the sky, and what did I see? A full moon. Mm-hmm. Did anybody else see that full moon besides me? Mm-hmm. Yay, a few people saw the full moon. It was big. It was great big. So anyway, we look up into the sky, we see the light, and that reminds us about Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you for these children and the families that they come from. Bless them and guide them. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen.
Amen.
Uh-oh. I forgot to bring the basket full of goodies, but Pastor Jeff is going to help me.
Yeah.
Now you guys get to stay seated, and we're going to sing one of my favorite hymns, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We'll sing all the verses. God's people said, amen.
As we're making this transition from the Christmas season to Epiphany, let us go before our Lord, asking Him to open our eyes to what's ahead. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Amazing God, God of wisdom, God of vision, God of creation. God, you are the one who brings everything to light. And as you sent your Son into the world, you gave us a message that He is the light. So as we go into this new year and this new season, we just ask for us to be encouraged by that light, to keep our eyes on Jesus, who is that light that shows us what is before us, shows us even where we've been, but most importantly, shows us what is ahead. So Lord, open our eyes to see. Open our hearts even wider. Lord, as our eyes show us what we have around us, may we be able to see it with Your clarity, Your wisdom, and Your motivation. Lord, we have our own motivations that kind of cloud what we're seeing and maybe even prevent us from moving forward with You. So Lord, we just ask that You would push back those things that blind us. And may we be able to see very clearly Your way and how You want us to be connected with You and those around us. For Lord, You called us to be Your church. So inspire us. May Your Spirit be active and alive in this new year to really get us to be motivated to make a difference. Not for ourselves, but for You. May all the brightness that comes from anything that we do be one that glorifies You and points others to You. Because Lord, as we have just shared, You are the one who is the one who is wise. You are the one who knows where You are taking us. You are the one who knows the right way. May we be inspired by this new season, bringing us into the light of Christ. Let us now share with one voice together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us respond to the light in a way of giving back. Ushers, would you please wait upon us as we return what we have been given? Please join in the prayer of dedication. Radiant God, the light of your wisdom and love shines for all who seek you, guiding us not with force, but with grace. Like the Magi, we come bearing gifts, not to earn your favor, but in response to the gift of Christ you've given us. Use these offerings to reflect your light into dark places, so that others might be drawn to your love, your justice, and your joy. Amen. You may be seated.
Generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb, and all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb.
Stands above them all thrones.
positioned, your name stands above them all. And the angels sing, holy, all creation cries, holy, you're lifted high, holy, holy forever. Now hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings.
Thank you, Terry. That was wonderful. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Praise for spiritual blessings in Christ. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, New Year's Day, in many households, I believe, is a day for football and resting after a late night of celebration. But it also, for many, is the day that we take down the Christmas decorations. Just a reminder, the decorations here at the church come down tomorrow, so come and help if you can, at 9:30, 10 o'clock, something like that. Your help would be appreciated. Anyway, we spend so much energy during the Christmas season trying to live up to expectations that have been built by generations of tradition. Then when the season ends, If we intend to or not, we let our spiritual energy come down with the decorations. The deep freeze of the winter doesn't help us. As we spend more time inside avoiding the cold and the cloudiness of the outside. During this time of year, it's not unheard of that our mood, just our disposition, our outlook also becomes cloudy and dim. Friends, this is where our faith can keep us from the gloom of the season. This is Epiphany Sunday, which traditionally celebrates the revelation that the light of Christ has been shown to all the world as the Magi of the East respond to the star of night, declaring Jesus' birth. There's a reason why Jesus is called the light of life, and the Apostle John proclaims, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." Jesus is the light that gives us hope. So today, on this day of Epiphany, we remind ourselves of our hope in Christ, who is the light of life, revealing purpose that generates praise within our hearts. The Reverend Dr. Derek Weber of the United Methodist Church Discipleship Group noted, "This hope is not a thin wish with fingers crossed that we make with our eyes mostly closed. Instead, it is the purpose behind our living. For our hope to truly drive the way we live, we have to move beyond some kind of appreciation of material blessings that we attribute to God. Rather, it is our hope in the spiritual blessings that gives us what we need to live an abundant life in a material world. Generally speaking, we Westerners are challenged by the spiritual side of faith. We aren't as comfortable with the unseen world as others across the globe may be. As a result, we may minimize our connection with Christ. But it's okay to open up and praise the Lord with confident hope, because what we have been given and Christ is special. This letter to the Ephesians isn't like other letters that we may see in our Bibles. It doesn't address specific issues of a young Christian church that they're experiencing. It is more of a general sermon or message to the Christian church of the non-Jewish communities, laying out the hope that we have in Christ and how that impacts how our lives are lived. At the beginning of this letter, Paul provided an overview, and throughout the letter he offered more detail on it. But I encourage you to spend some time with the whole letter, but today we focus on the beginning. Paul began with a proclamation stating, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." What Paul shared next are the spiritual blessings that allow us to live in hope and the light of Christ. So let's discover what setting our hope in Christ gives us. And before we dive in, I wanted to share an interesting fact about this passage. These eight sentences or so of English are one long sentence in Greek. It may have been one sentence, but I doubt that anyone ever spoke it or could speak it in one breath. It is a long statement. However, because it was a single sentence, it does suggest that it all fits together as a cohesive unit, and each piece holds the same value of importance for our spiritual wellness. I'm sure there are many ways to break this down to better digest it, but I have broken it down into four morsels of spiritual blessing in which to set our hope in Christ. So let's break it down. Paul wrote, referencing God the Father, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the One He loves." There's a lot of theological words in here. Chosen. Holy. Predestined. Adoption. Grace. So much could be said about each one of these things, but lucky for you, today I'm not going to do that. Paul was basically gushing over the love that God has for all. But especially for those who respond to this love that's poured out in Christ. Paul was worshiping praise and thanksgiving for what was given. What is given to us? Timeless belonging as beloved children of the Most Holy God. I know it is hard for us to think from an eternity perspective, but God is not bound by time like we are. So we have always been known by the Lord. We have always been loved in Christ, who has always been with God and is God. We are co-heirs in the family of God. And then in Christ's holiness, we are holy without blame before God because of Christ. Because of Christ, everyone is welcomed. We belong and we are beloved now and forever. What a blessing, right? This is love above all love. This is glorious grace that is given willfully and with pleasure. To grasp this kind of love, we have to get out of our heads and dive deep into our hearts to connect with the spiritual level and to step into eternity, because it's worth the trip. And the trip doesn't stop there. Paul continued with very little punctuation, we would say. And in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Friends, we have to stay connected in spirit, in the depth of our hearts, to appreciate this outpouring of love in Christ. Because this is a spiritual blessing, after all. And here's the blessing we are lavished with. It's the capacity to accept forgiveness through Christ's redeeming blood. But you know what? Without God's grace, we can't make sense of this idea of redemption through blood, or even our need for forgiveness. It seems crazy, especially to anyone in today's world, if we spoke to them about redemption by blood. But if we spend time with the Lord in the Scriptures, through grace, the Lord helps us to understand that the ancient culture and stories that reveal how we were separated from God because of our sin. We then see in God's covenant relationships with Noah and Abraham, the Lord's commitment to reconciling us. With the introduction of the covenant with the Hebrew people through the law of Moses and the sacrificial system, we finally get to the point where we witness God's redemption through blood sacrifice, which then brings understanding to Christ's final sacrifice for forgiveness of all sin. Making sense of this sacrifice of love, we are then freed from wallowing in our failures as we understand repentance and forgiveness. And in the light of this truth, knowing we are sinful creatures, one and all forgiven in Christ, we can have compassion and offer mercy to others. We can even offer grace, which is unmerited love, to people. To meet people where they are in the mess, with hopes of opening their hearts to the spiritual blessing that is available to them. God doesn't want anyone to remain in the darkness. So instead, Jesus, the light of the world, is given to make us aware of the riches of God's grace. Are you feeling blessed yet? If not, let's keep going. Paul goes on insisting, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to put in effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Not only did God give us wisdom and understanding with regards to forgiveness and redemption through Christ, we are told why. We are given revelation of God's will. Again, we have to step into eternity to get what Paul is saying. Jesus didn't just come to save us from our sins. He came to give us the life of eternity that was always intended for humanity. We are created to be together with God, holy and blameless, united in love. God's will through Christ is to end the separation between heaven and earth, to unite us all, and when Jesus returns, to gather His church to Him. God's will is accomplished. Well, we also know that Jesus has enlisted and entrusted us, the church, to carry out His mission to make disciples of Christ until the work of salvation is complete in the fullness of time. We are beloved. We belong. And we have purpose. I hope you are feeling it. We are blessed. It's okay to feel it. It's not a farce. How can I say that? I know what I've been given. Paul did too. And he says, you and anyone with ears to hear can too. He declared, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. God's grace isn't like a carrot on a stick, something that is dangled in front of us, which we can't quite grasp. This love that is poured out on us is there for the taking. By grace, we are able to hear the good news. By grace, we're able to understand it and believe it. And as if that isn't enough, God has given us even more when we set our hope in Christ. You see, we are given assurance that God's redeeming work will be completed. Where does this assurance come from? The Holy Spirit, who dwells in us and speaks the promise of God's redemption directly into our hearts. The Holy Spirit wraps our hearts like a seal of protection and assures us that we belong and are beloved. This Word of God, Christ Himself, that resides in us is actively working in us to transform us, transforming us to be the love that is in the likeness of Christ. This ongoing transformation that we experience from the inside out strengthens our faith and causes us, as Paul says, to praise and worship the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are blessed. The Lord is worthy of our praise. On this Epiphany Sunday, I encourage you, be enlightened. Setting our hope in Christ is not wishful thinking. It is embracing a relationship that is rooted in eternity. Our hope in Christ lavishes us with spiritual blessings given by God's glorious grace. You see, we are blessed with timeless belonging as beloved children of the most holy God. We are blessed with the capacity to grasp our need for forgiveness and redemption offered through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We are blessed to know God's will to reconcile all through Christ and our mission as Christ's church to share this truth with anyone that we can. And we are blessed because we are blessed with an assurance that God's redeeming work is in us and it will be going through us and it will be completed. So dispel the cold and cloudy days of winter with the light of Christ. Because we belong. We are beloved. We have a purpose. We have hope. We have a reason to praise and worship. We are blessed. Amen. And we are blessed as we are invited around Christ's table. I said, this is Christ's table. We are the ones that are invited. But what brings us to come? What can you think about that brings us to come? It's humility. It is in our humility that we come to the table knowing that we need the forgiveness. So as we come to the table this morning, let's just take a brief moment of silence and just lay it out before God. Say, I recognize my need for you. For you see, God died for us while we were yet sinners. God knew. God has always known. But God invites us to His table. Because it is in the name of Jesus that we are forgiven. Amen. Friends, I mentioned in my message, diving into the Scriptures to bring us understanding. The whole story is there that brings us to this table. We have to know the story to understand why we gather around this table, why we understand what it means for there to be a sacrifice, for there to be blood poured out as a covenant. What is a covenant? What is God doing in all of that? God pursued us from the beginning to draw us together. It is in that commitment that we make to know that we understand God's commitment to us. God never left our side. Throughout the Scriptures, you can see it. You can see how He met with one person, and then the family, and then a nation, and then all nations, bringing Jesus Christ to the forefront in the light to show us this is the way. So as we come around the table, we come around the table as if we were coming with Jesus and His friends that were around that table in that last week of His life. He knew why He was here. He was bringing us together. He brought us together as 12, and then He brought us together as billions. So we gather around this table. And as we hear Jesus taking bread and offering thanks and then offering it to His friends, to all people, saying, this is My body which has been given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. And then as He took the cup and He offered thanks and He gave it to His disciples saying, this is My blood poured out for you and for many. It is the covenant, the new covenant of My blood, given for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do this in remembrance of Me. And as we drink from this cup, let it remind us that within the paradox of the cross, our deepest suffering is met with the promise of new life and redemption. Being brought into the fold. That's where redemption is. In this sacred act, God's children throughout time are invited to embrace this paradox of the cross where sacrifice becomes the source of hope. And our brokenness is transformed by Your redeeming love, O God, which offers blessing to all creation. And so in remembrance of these, Your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice. and union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. You all know it. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. Because by your Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Friends, the table is set. And here at the United Methodist Church, it is an open table. All who are seeking to be one with God and with Jesus and with their neighbor are welcome around the Lord's table. As the ushers lead you forward, we will be receiving the elements in the pews. They will take the trays to you in the pews and then take one and hold it till I take it with you as a whole. We'll do it together. And then we'll do the same with the cup. Will you help me, ushers? This is the body of Christ, which has been given for you. Take and eat. This is the blood of Christ. It is a covenant. It is forgiveness. It is redemption. Take, drink. Let us pray. In the quiet simplicity of the Beatitudes, we hear afresh the paradox of the cross. The blessedness comes not from power, but from meekness. Not from might, but from mercy. Today we give thanks for those who, through burdens of life's trials, choose to seek justice, to offer compassion, and to stand as beacons of hope in a troubled world. Amen.
Amen. Our closing hymn is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. And this is my prayer for us for this week, is that we are open to God's love, His guidance, and His direction, because we are messengers, and we are messengers for Him. Please stand as we sing 127. Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. All three verses. And now, covenant prayer. Hopefully it'll be up on the screen here for you. I'm going to read it out of here because it's not necessary. I can see most of it, but we want to make sure I can see it here. It's number 607 if you have the same problem. Let us share this covenant prayer together. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.